Live at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Gordon. We've got another good show lined up for you this evening. On hand for tonight's program, we'll be talking with Northwest Women's Basketball Coach Michael Smith along with Northwest Men's Coach Ben McCollum. We'll also have on hand Northwest Junior Linebacker DJ Nader and Northwest Athletic Director Mel Churchma. We'll all be here tonight on the Coaches Show. A reminder that the Coaches Show is underwritten by the student body with screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest campus on the corner of 4th and Fillmore, Maryville. Student body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For dine-in or carry-out, more information at 660-582-2699. And again, our thanks to Carson and Renee and the waitstaff for all their work throughout this evening. And don't forget, our sideline reporter Chris Roush, along with our engineer at the radio station, Darren Perkins, have some giveaways they'll be handing out throughout the hour as well. So we've got a lot coming up. Matt Gordon, a little bit of inclement weather tonight, but a good time to talk sports.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, for me, weather doesn't matter. Always a good time to talk sports. And, you know, it's a little bit more of a laid-back weekend this weekend, but that's okay because there's a lot of important stuff coming up, and teams need a little bit of a break.
Right. Yeah, we've got some women's basketball this weekend. The Northwest women, as we'll be talking with Coach Smith about, they've got a game tomorrow night with Kansas Wesleyan over at Bearcat Arena. And then on Sunday, they go down to Pittsburgh, Kansas. They'll face Pittsburgh State. That will be a non-conference matchup on Sunday, just a women's game down there. But it would be a good time to get on floor and go up against some good competition.
Well, you know, the way the schedule's kind of laying out, I think there's good amount of time, decent amount of time, you know, between games, between sets to get things worked on, and that's something that they've been able to kind of do this week, getting ready for tomorrow.
And of course, the Northwest men's team, we'll talk about that with Coach McCollum, coming off a win last night in their home opener, defeating Baker, and then they'll be back in action on Tuesday, tune up with Peru State before a big weekend over the Thanksgiving weekend down in the Drury Classic.
Yeah, playing the defending national champion next weekend, after Thanksgiving there, so they'll definitely need another tune-up, make sure everything's just right, at least for this early in the season.
Again, we'll be talking some Bearcat football tonight as well with DJ Nader, as well as Athletic Director Mel Churchma, talking about some of the behind-the-scenes things that go into getting ready for hosting NCAA Division II playoff games. So a lot to talk about tonight.
Absolutely.
And again, up next, we'll be talking with Michael Smith. He's the women's basketball coach at Northwest Missouri State. We'll talk about the week he's had and what's looking ahead for this weekend. That's all coming up as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show will continue from Carson Sports Grill and downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell and St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Back at Carson's in downtown Maryville for the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show as we talk some basketball. Northwest women's coach Michael Smith joining us. Coach, last time we chatted on Sunday after the Winstead Reeves Classic, you mentioned the goal of the week was to get in the film room, see a little bit of film from the weekend, see what sort of things you needed to work on this week. What were some of the things that you saw watching the film on Monday?
Well, it was interesting. Monday was our day off. We have to have a mandatory day off with NCAA rules, so Monday just happened to fall on a good day for a day off after, you know, the weekend classic a little bit. Got me a chance to watch film, as you mentioned, and I kept thinking the more I rewind it, the more I played it, and the more I rewind it, the outcome would be a little different, but it's not that way. So Tuesday when we came back in, we all had a team film session, and usually I clip it up to kind of just show some of the things, but instead we watched the last 10 minutes, actually, I guess you could say live, so we could watch a lot of things, how we handled not just, you know, the adversity that we had, but I said, okay, you know, for instance, that bucket, we're up 8 with 4.5 minutes to go. We act like we're down 8.
Yeah.
As far as our body language, you know, next bucket, we just kind of went through that, you know, clip by clip, routine by routine, And I really don't think the girls really understood until they saw for themselves, you know, that what just a little bit feeds off to somebody else. And I said, how many times did we let one bad thing turn into 2 bad things, turn into 3 bad things? And that's we emphasize that every day in practice, you know. You know, we're going to make mistakes, but let's just don't let one mistake turn to 2 mistakes, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously it did that. And we had a few key people that got in foul trouble, and it really hurt us there at the end of the game. Because I looked to them whenever it was over with, and I said, now, how bad did we need you out on the floor? Pretty bad. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, you let down your team because some of the mistakes that you made. So that's the best thing about it, you know. And as Coach T and I were talking a little bit, he goes, that film doesn't lie. And I said, no, you know, it definitely doesn't. So, and I can honestly say that since then, we've probably had the best string of practices we've had all year. So, you know, our focus is better. You know, we're holding them more accountable for things, which we have to do. And because we're real close. There's no doubt in my mind we're real close. I think we've got the pieces to have a good year this year. And obviously there's a lot of time left to correct mistakes, and that's what we've been really working on this week.
And you had mentioned that you've already seen some strides in some areas that you've worked on, especially last weekend on the offensive side.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we simplified things a little bit. You know, I'm kind of a stubborn coach, but at the same time I understand that if your team is reaching out for a little bit of help, you're going to do what you can to try and make a few adjustments. You're not going to totally change everything up, but we made a few adjustments after the Quincy game, and I could really see that. But people would have thought that maybe we don't work on defense in practice, but when actually we work on it just as much as we do, you know, offense. So that was the area that obviously struggled from this weekend, and it was just a couple of things. And I'm going to be honest with you, who's been a great, I guess you could say, crutch to lean on this week has been Coach McCollum. I've sat down with him, watched his team play. It's the first time I got a chance to watch his team play last night, you know, and how aggressive they get it. And I told our girls after practice, I said, hey, if you don't have any homework, you need to come out and watch these guys play. They play like every possession is the most important possession of the day, of the game, et cetera. You know, just little things like that. They were up 20, but they were acting like they were down 10, still fighting. You know, those are the things right there, the passion. That's what I want to get to with these girls, is try to find that passion within themselves so they understand that, you know, you have the ability to do that. And I enjoyed watching him last night. And like I said, he's been great to visit with back and forth a little bit this week on a couple of things. And, you know, again, that just goes back to, you know, what we have here. When I'm just, you know, I always knew it, but I'm experiencing it firsthand right now, which is everybody from administration on down to the coaches that you're going to share the bus with, you know, on the trip to Fort Hays here in a few weeks. So that's something really special that they're looking out for you as well as their own program.
When I'm going to go back a little bit, you mentioned watching film and the way you watched film and watching a straight last 10 minutes or whatever. It has got to be a little bit different these days because of the technology and the fact that you can break stuff down so easy. And you got to kind of think about what's a better way to watch film, because it is an important part of the game. But if you don't do it right, it's not going to be as big a help.
Yeah, usually, you know, we put all defensive clips together and all offensive clips together. Well, you don't know if it was what part of necessarily the game was. You may have had one in the first half, and then the very next clip might have been the last 3 seconds of the second half. Well, they don't correlate, you know, one right after the other. So I thought, you know, I've done it before, just to them to get an idea of how just the last 10 minutes perceived and how we kind of really gave it away, you know. And as I said, I think that was really the eye-opening experience that they needed, I'm hoping, because I think we're pretty hungry, and I think we're ready for tomorrow night.
Yeah, now you just need the VHS tape that you can slide.
the old thumbs, or you know, back in the day, you,
yep.
You had a remote in each hand. I know, I remember those days, I tell you.
So you mentioned this week and how you've seen some practicing. They're stepping up their level. Does that have you more encouraged going into this weekend with a couple of games?
Absolutely. You know, there's nothing better than to get a bad taste out of your mouth, but to go out and take it out on somebody else, you know. And you know, we just got, right before I got here, as I say, we were actually watching film. We have a couple of girls have late practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or late classes, so we have to do that. So we got our film in earlier and our scout, and, you know, we talked about what the keys are going to be, and when I get back, then we're going to, you know, get on the court and try to put things into place. But as I've said all along, it really comes down to what we're doing this early in the season, more importantly than what the other team's doing. I really believe, especially in the situation we are right now, trying to, you know, still learn each other a little bit, learn a new system, those type of things. You know, but at some point in time, you got to say, hey, enough's enough. It's time to get after and start playing Bearcat basketball, you know.
You're always, through the year, obviously working on your team as well as preparing for upcoming opponents. Is the balance different earlier in the year and how much you spend on your team compared to the opponent as later in the year?
Definitely, especially in, like I said, in the situation that we are in with a new staff and a new system and things like that. You know, I sit there and I watch, you know, our men go, and they know exactly, you know, how to do it. So they're a little different than how, where we are right now. But, you know, the nice thing is I know that we're going to be there. And that's what keeps me going right now.
Kansas Wesleyan, what do you anticipate seeing out of them?
They average about 22 three-point attempt shots a game. They go to the free throw line close to 30 times a game. So, again, with the new rules, a lot of people are taking advantage of it. I think a lot of coaches are saying, get the ball, put your head down, and drive as hard as you can to the basket.
Yeah.
You're going to go to the free throw line.
Yep.
They're attempting almost 30 free throw attempts a game, and it's not because they're quicker than we are. It's just they have a mindset that they're going to catch it, and nobody's going to get in the way of it. So our rotations, like we've talked about from the weekend, are going to be extremely important on that backside help. And we've got to guard the three-point line. You know, the best thing is the two games over the weekend, the scout was, like I mentioned to you, in pregame, postgame, whatever it was, the scouts are very similar, the two opponents that we got. Well, it's kind of similar to this game, too. They're not, I think they're post players. The two combined average 5 points a game. Now, I say that, and who knows, but we're going to make the post try and beat us tomorrow because they know they rely on they got an All-American returning on the perimeter that averages about 20 a game. So we know they're perimeter-oriented, so we're going to have to guard the three-point line. We're going to have to, you know, close the gaps on those penetrations a little bit, and hopefully that'll get us going. You know, right now we just need a little confidence. We just need to get a win.
When you talk about the rotations, you know, the help side defense obviously big with the new rules changes, but you know, for the average fan, you're probably thinking, well, somebody needs to help whoever's driving with the ball, that defender. But you guys are looking even further than that, away from the ball and where those defenders are going to try to take away extra passes.
Help the helper.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about that. Yeah, it's and Ben and I talk a little bit, too. It's not the first pass rotation you worry about. It's the second rotation that usually gets you. And that's what got us. You know, Quincy, that's what got us at Truman. We may have had that first rotation, then nobody stepped down to cover that man's, you know, that up a girl. So it's little things like that, you know, a couple missed assignments. We have to start paying more attention to our scout. That's a perfect time to prepare ourselves, especially whenever they're driving, because you can't help off a shooter. And a lot of times we got caught doing that. I mean, possessions. We talk about it, too, every day. Just one or two possessions would have been a little different. The outcome might have been a little bit different. But, you know, it is what it is. We can build on it. And We're gonna keep working hard.
Well, I'd love to sit here and keep chatting with you, but I know you got work to do down the street.
If I can get down the street.
Yeah. So we'll let you go now so you can take your time and get to the gym. But we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's Michael Smith, head women's basketball coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, they have Kansas Wesleyan at home tomorrow night before heading on the road on Sunday to match up with Pittsburgh State. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back with more from Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show right after this.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson's Sports Grill. We've got a couple of giveaways to hand out here as Chris Rouse has been going through the crowd. And Chris going through to get some giveaways done before he goes out and scrapes our car at the end of the show to have it ready for us. But anyway, we've got a couple of giveaways right now. First of all, we'll be giving away a Northwest stocking cap, and this will go to Rigo Jones over to our right here. So Rigo, the recipient of a Northwest stocking cap. So if Rigo comes, so we're going to send Chris over to get it to Rigo, so that's good. And we also have a Northwest t-shirt to give away, and this will go to Mark Corson. So Mark Corson receives a Northwest t-shirt tonight. So there's a couple of our giveaways. We've got more coming up throughout this evening as well. Right now, joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, we've got some basketball weather out there tonight.
I don't know if I'd call this. Basketball weather is 70 all the time. It's never sunny, though. It's just there's lights in there. And so there's the temperature stays the same. We don't go outside during basketball season.
And I think that's wise.
What's that?
I think that's wise of you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Team coming off a win last night, the home opener. I went over our Baker University, and I know talking with you after the game last night, the thing you were most pleased about was just the effort you got from the opening tip-off to the final buzzer last night.
Yeah, I thought we competed. I thought we played hard. I know that Baker during the game didn't look like a great team. In all actuality, they are. Coming into the game, we were a little nervous. They gave Central a little run for their money, and they didn't have their best player against Central. Came into the game, and I challenged our guys that, hey, we haven't given the effort. We haven't concentrated like you know, Bearcat basketball teams do. And I said, we need to make sure we do that tonight. And I thought they did that for the full 40 minutes.
Yeah, I thought when you looked at Baker's roster, they had a couple guys that could very easily be competing in the MIAA. It just is a depth factor, I thought, more than anything when you go up against a team like Northwest.
Yeah, and we totally discombobulated them, if that's a word. We trapped their ball screens so they couldn't use their ball screens. You know, we forced a couple shot clock violations in a trapping defense, which shows you how good our rotations were. You know, we flew around defensively. Then offensively, we stayed with our basic motion, ball screen motion, and we ran a couple plays to start, and you know, it was coming pretty easy with the plays, and so we went away from the plays, just, you know, had to work on some other things, and I thought our guys did a good job of still going inside out with it.
And you got a chance to get everyone out onto the floor that's been going through the practices and getting some meaningful game time experience there.
I think these games are very important to kind of develop that depth, especially number 10. You know, we've kind of got a top 8, 9 right now. We needed a 10, 11, and that's what we were trying to go for in that game is get our guys to that 10, 11 developed, and in case we have an injury or in case, you know, we need that position with foul trouble, he'll be ready to go, and I'll have confidence in him.
When you talk about foul trouble with the rule changes this year, although we didn't see it last night as much, but where they're calling all the hand checks and things like that, there's going to be some situations where you're going to have some guys in foul trouble. And last night I thought one of the keys for your team, going to the free throw line, only missed two free throws the entire night. So if you can keep up a good free throw shooting percentage this season, when you know you're going to get to the line, that it's going to be very important for teams to be able to shoot well at the line.
I think getting to the line's really important. Getting the other team in foul trouble. I love the rule changes, first off. I know a lot of coaches will kind of complain about, hey, you know, you're killing the tempo of the game and whatnot. And, you know, my defense to that is stop fouling. The only reason you would need to put your hand on an offensive player is because you're beat or you can't guard them. And I love when they call hand checks. I think it's needed to be done for years. I think it's going to clean up the game quite a bit. Once teams get past, okay, you can't do that. Like, if you touch them, that's a foul, period. And hopefully, I think the thing that's trending back towards last season, even this early, where coaches complain enough that, you know, they stop calling a little bit. Hopefully it trends the other direction and they call it even more and more and more, clean it up, and then eventually teams will adjust.
And I know, talking with you before the season started, that from your standpoint, the way you teach defense to them, it's not that much of adjustment for your team because you feel like you're playing defense the right way to begin with.
Yeah, defensively, we really work on our footwork. We work on it constantly. We worked on it the year before. So when these rule changes came into play, you know, I went back and watched a lot of film from last season, and we just did not foul a whole lot as far as the new rules go. We didn't put our hands on people last year. You know, we didn't armbar a ton because we work on defense constantly. I think you're going to find that the teams that are very offensive-minded, that don't work on defense a lot, they're going to be the ones that will hand check, arm bar, do those things because they don't know the proper footwork. And that's why it's so important that they call the rules. And in a couple games they have, in a couple games it's just been like last year. And so, you know, I think it's a work in progress for the officials too.
And as far as your inside game, you're going to have some guys inside that are going to get to the free throw line an awful lot, regardless of what type of roles are out there, because you're doing such a good job getting the ball inside. Guys like Starzl, Kozad, Schlake, those guys are going to get to the free throw line just from the standpoint of just continuing to try to pound it inside.
I don't know how you guard him if you don't foul him. Dylan is so big, and he's agile. That's what people, when he runs straight forward, he's not exactly fast, but side to side, he is as fast as they get, and laterally quick, I should say, not fast, quick. I think that a lot comes from football, actually. He was an offensive lineman in high school, really good one. And so that footwork where you got to keep your foot down the step slide, and they use that on the O-line, and I think that helps him quite a bit to where he can move his feet and defend. And then offensively, he can move his feet, get himself in position to seal. And he's a load down there. And then Kozad, you know, he's real wiry, and he makes little quick moves, so it's tough to defend, so he'll get in foul. He'll draw fouls like that.
No, talking with you as well about Grant's play, that the lift he gives you coming off the bench, it seems like he brings the intensity level up a little bit with the entire team when he comes out on the floor off the bench.
He does, and that's why we actually started with him starting. And, you know, I don't know if he's real comfortable in that role, and so we put Kyle back in the starting lineup, and it's been great for Grant. Not only been great for Kyle, it's been great for Grant. He comes in, really gives that punch, that offensive punch that we need off the bench, and then obviously gives Schlake and Dylan a rest, and then Zach Schneider comes off. So in the post, you know, I think we're as good as anybody in the country, Division II-wise. We really got to get our guards going a little bit to catch up to our post players.
And whether you start or come off the bench, what matters are the minutes you get, and if you're getting the same type of minutes regardless, it really doesn't matter, just whatever they're more comfortable with, I guess.
Yeah, I had a teammate that's actually a head coach at Pratt Community College, Jesse Shaw. He played 30-some minutes a game, 30-plus, 32 probably, and he come off the bench his senior year. I mean, he came off the bench from his sophomore to his senior year, and he just liked that. Some guys like that, and it really didn't matter to him. And part of it was Jesse would get in foul trouble so quick, too. He was nuts. So they had to bring him off the bench to calm him down a little bit. It was like he had to meditate for about 5 minutes. But this isn't here to diss Jesse, I guess.
But by the way, if you're talking Jesse, he did finish one game particularly well down in Stephenville one year, I know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hit that three in the corner. Yeah, he still claims that he's a shooter, and he certainly isn't. that hitch in his shot doesn't help, but hopefully he's not listening to this because he'll come after me. But
all right, let's go back to this past weekend, the Hilliard Classic, 1-1 in that classic. You opened up with the tough task with Midwestern State, a team preseason ranked at 13 and a very good squad out there, and you unfortunately just let a 10-point lead in the second half kind of get away there, but a lot of good things did come out of that game despite the fact it was a loss.
I thought we competed great. I thought we executed our game plan up until that last 10 minutes when we gave up. I think in that second half we gave up 12 offensive rebounds, and that was a key going in. The first half we gave up one offensive rebound, but we had one guy go for 25 points. Tough shots. If we would have stuck with that same process, that guy would have, and he did, start missing some shots. We had to get the defensive rebound, but we didn't. And so inevitably they came back, made a run at us, and obviously took control of the game.
Now after that, they went over William Jewell, and I know you're glad to get the win, but talking with you after the ball game, a little bit disappointed with the effort you had out of the team against William Jewell.
I just didn't think we concentrated real well against Jewell, but again, we played well enough to win the game, and Jewell actually just beat Pitt. I think they were up 28 with 10 minutes to go against Pittsburgh State. So, you know, Jewell's a lot better than they looked the night before against Western. Jewell's a pretty good basketball team. So it's good to get the win. I would have liked to see greater effort, greater enthusiasm, just that extra juice that we need to make sure we have, the understanding that we don't have a high margin for error. The reason we're good is because we give great effort. We always concentrate, and then obviously we play together.
It really seemed like in that game you're maybe one or two possessions away from maybe blowing the game open if you would have been able to convert on a couple plays there.
Yeah, and get a couple stops. We didn't really guard anybody either. So yeah, you know, it's tough when you don't have a lot of energy to kind of overcome and you know, put your foot on someone's throat, I guess, as the saying goes. But you know, that I was glad that we learned from that, and that when we went to Baker, we had great energy, and it's tough to get up for those games versus Baker, you know, because they see that Central beat them, and they come into the game and they're in NAIA. But if you come in lackadaisical against them, Baker can beat you, and the same for Peru State on Tuesday. If we come in like we did against William Jewell, they can very easily beat us, and we have to understand that, and we have to understand that not only that, but we need to play at a high level so that we're ready for our conference.
And when you talk about Peru State, that's a game that is important just from the standpoint of you want to go out there and execute well against Peru, but you want to get some things going for later in the week when you've got a couple of tough games coming up down in Springfield, the Drury Classic. So the Peru game really looms as a pretty good and pretty important game for you on Tuesday night.
Absolutely. Every game's important. You know, it's an opportunity to get better. It's an opportunity to play someone else in a different color jersey. And then it's an opportunity to see if we can give another game with that great effort. And I'm going to challenge our guys again to make sure that we do that. And we continue to improve every single day, every single game. And, you know, get ready to go. I guess Drury's number 4 in the country now, so get ready to go into there.
Yeah, number 4 in the country. You face them Friday afternoon, the day after Thanksgiving. And not only that, but they're coming into this season the defending national champion. So, you know, you've got a task ahead of you on Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I think they've won 26 games in a row, something like that. So we're excited for it. I actually really enjoy the tougher pre-conference schedule. The issue with it is if you lose a couple of these games, how much does it hurt your regional if you have that opportunity late in the season? I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen as far as our strength of schedule, opponent strength of schedule, all that stuff. So, you know, we'll find out. But so far, I'm really enjoying having to prepare, and our guys are really getting a lot better having to prepare for different offenses and guys that can expose you and defenses that can expose you. And I think it's only going to help us come conference.
Oh, no doubt about that, because you know you're going to have a very tough conference schedule coming up.
Oh, yeah. It's always tough in the MIAA. And we start off, I think we start off with Pitt and then Emporia. And so, you know, it's tough. It's going to be a tough league, tough year, and we're going to be ready to go.
Then after the Drury game next Saturday, you've got a team that you won't be seeing as much of now, but since they're leaving the conference in Truman State, but a chance to play them again this season.
Oh, yeah. And we remember what they did to us last game of the season. We certainly will refresh their memories if they don't. And we'll be ready to play for that game.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Jeff.
Again, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And for Ben's team, they'll be back in action Tuesday night. They'll be at home to face Crew State. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off while that broadcast beginning at 6:40. So, again, Ben McCollum with us. We'll be back and turn our attention to Bearcat football as we'll be talking with one of the linebackers off this Bearcat football team, DJ Nader. That's coming up right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
Back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, as we're going to turn our attention to Bearcat football here in just a moment. A couple of more giveaways here before we do talk Bearcat football. First, a Bearcat coffee mug, and I took a look at that. It'd have to be about four times that size for me in the morning. But this one, Dave Howell is the winner of the Bearcat coffee mug. So, Dave, congratulations. And then we've got a Bearcat koozie, and on the inside of that koozie is a nice student body gift card, and that's going to go to Dorothy Baldwin. So, Dorothy, you're a winner of a koozie and a gift card from the student body, as we've got some more giveaways coming up later in the show as well. Well, a very not-so-busy week for the Bearcat football team this week, and joining us now is junior linebacker DJ Nader from the Bearcat football team. And DJ, I know we talk about how important it is to have the week off, and you guys obviously earned that with the number one seed. What does it mean for you guys having this week to relax a little bit before getting into playoff action?
You know, it lets us rest physically, but not only, you know, we get a step ahead in the mental game and, you know, sit back and, you know, get a good game plan for both the, you know, upcoming opponents. And we got guys like Longacre, Yost, they get a rest, so, you know, they're beat up from the season and stuff. But it's just, you know, it's, you know, we've been going hard since August 12th, and it's you know, it's you know, it's kind of relaxing, and, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of time to ourselves and time to catch up on our schoolwork and stuff like that, so it's just good.
And we made sure those guys sat far enough away they couldn't throw stuff at you, so that's why they're over there.
Yeah, they might not throw stuff at me, they might sack me.
When you talk about the mental side of the game, I know you guys do so much work preparation-wise, spend a lot of time studying film, that sort of thing. Take us through kind of how much film do you watch through the week as you're getting ready for an opponent?
You know, our coaches do a great job of breaking it down before we even, you know, open it up and watch it. It's not mandatory, but, you know, as a defense, as a unit, we all spend at least an hour up there a day throughout our day, and then in the mornings we meet at 7, the D-line meets at 6:30, and you know, none of that stuff is, you know, mandatory. We just, you know, that's just what we've been doing, just to, you know, get a step ahead, because obviously, you know, teams have done that in the past, and the defenses that have done that have had success, and, you know, our coaches just do a great job of breaking it down for us and, you know, teaching us the game and teaching us their game plan. And, I mean, it's just we spend a lot of time doing it.
When you are watching film, what are some of the things you're looking for? What are you watching for? How is it so helpful for you?
Well, defensively, we watch for, like, tendencies and, you know, like, when an offense comes out in formation, you know, what their play, you know, if it's a higher pass tendency or run tendency and certain motions, you know, a running back's alignment in the backfield, if it's going to be, you know, a run or pass. And I know the D-line, they always watch the offensive lineman and see what success, like, what pass rush moves work on them, what pass rush moves don't work on them. And we also watch them, too, so... you know, basically we just break down the game, you know, break down the whole team from the quarterback, the receivers, to the O linemen, and just come up with a game plan off of that.
We talked a lot this year about how from front to back with the defense, you just got solid units, a solid defensive line, a solid linebacking core. Obviously the guys on the back end are solid as well. You hear coach telling you guys all the time to do your 1-11th. Does it make it a lot easier to do that when you know you've got the guys around you that you do?
Oh, definitely. You know, you see a lot of teams on film that have, you know, great athletes, and they just don't do their job. You know, they're not playing gap sound assignment football, and, you know, it results in them getting beat. And we've preached that all season long, just to do your 1-11th and trust that the guy next to you is going to do his. And, you know, it's continued to be one of our, you know, main objectives this year. And, you know, like I said, we have a lot of trust in each other, and, you know, the guys in the back end do a great job, and the guys in the, you know, on the D-line do a great job of getting pressure. So, you know, it makes it kind of easy for the guys on level two. All we got to do is really run around, because those guys are taking up the blocks and the guys in the back end are locking people down. So, I mean, you know, it's just, it's a great feeling when you got, you know, everybody across the board doing their job.
It's kind of a dream scenario for linebackers.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, when you talk about... from game to game, no matter who the opponent is, being able to fly around. I've heard a lot from players this year that it's just fun. The game is fun because of that. And is that a result of the guys you've got around you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's like, you know, a few years ago, I have an old lineman coming out to get me. Now our coach Wright does a great job of protecting us linebackers, because he has those guys getting hands on the old lineman, you know, just so we, you know, we'll beat them with our alignment. But, you know, they'll all obviously help us out by getting hands on them and just knocking them off their path to get us. And, you know, we get to fly around, and it's definitely fun. I mean, and some of the zone read stuff, you know, it's kind of an unselfish thing, but, you know, the DN will play the dive, the linebacker will play the quarterback, and we switch it up. So, I mean, you know, we have a lot of fun doing it. And like I said, we trust each other, and, you know, we all feel very comfortable out there with each other and with, you know, the experience that we have.
Does it kind of get you to a point where there's really no thinking involved? You're able to just kind of react to what's happening in front of you?
Yeah, definitely. When I first got here, Coach Scott Boswick, he ran a very, very complex defense, but he was very good at teaching it. And we've kind of went away from that this year. You know, we're in the past few years, but we're very simple now. And Coach Wright says, we're very simple for one reason, so you guys don't think and just play and, you know, react. And, you know, I believe that's, you know, I mean, it's especially for the younger guys learning the defense, it's huge. You know, they come out and are able to execute from the get-go.
What do you do Saturday?
What was that?
What are you going to do Saturday?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that yet. I was actually kind of thinking about that. It's been a while since I've had a weekend off, but they told us to get away from, you know, football and sit back, relax. Probably going to go hunt with Longacre.
He's locked and loaded,
yep,
it sounds,
yep,
like.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're just going to, you know, enjoy ourselves and enjoy this, you know, this time off. But come Sunday at 5 o'clock, it's on to whoever wins this upcoming game.
Do you think that once Sunday does roll around that you're just kind of going to be itching to get back into that routine?
Definitely. It's kind of like I said, it's weird thinking I don't have a game. We don't have a game Saturday. I'm kind of itching to get back in it right now. I mean, the off the downtime's nice, but, you know, in the past two seasons, we're used to going on the road or playing the first-round game. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to be itching. I mean, excited to get this thing going, excited to see who, you know, what this game's going to bring to Maryville.
Hey, how cool is it to play in front of the crowds that you guys get? Obviously, you're going to have a home one here in a little over a week, but you've seen some big crowds when you've been on the road as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't stress that enough. Our fans are great, the greatest fans in, I mean, the nation. I mean, they do a great job of following us week in and week out, you know, no matter where or who we're playing. And, you know, it's really a great feeling when you run out on the field and you're in Texas or Minnesota and in a playoff game and you have more fans there, you're on the road, than they do in the, you know, at their home game. So, I mean, it honestly helps us, I mean, a lot. You know, they do a great job of being loud and get us going. And like I said, it's a great feeling running out when you see all those, you know, all those people there to support you and the team. And, you know, we just want to go out and put on a good show for them.
All right, DJ, well, enjoy the hunt on Saturday.
I will.
Enjoy the time off, and good luck to you next week.
Thank you very much.
That is DJ Nader, junior linebacker for Northwest Missouri State. Again, they will have this weekend off, and they'll face either Emporia State or Minnesota Duluth on the 30th over at Bearcat Stadium. We'll take a timeout and be back with more from Carson's in downtown Maryville after this. You're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Before we talk with the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman, we got some more giveaways to hand out tonight. The winner of a Northwest t-shirt goes to Melissa O'Brien. So, again, Melissa O'Brien receives a Northwest t-shirt. And if Melissa's still here, go over to Chris here on our left, and he'll have a t-shirt for you. Also, a Northwest stocking cap goes to Jessica Loon. Jessica Loon receives a Northwest stocking cap. And a student body gift card will go to Hannah Richardson. So Hannah Richardson receives a student body gift card.
So I'm going to tell you now, Chris has horrible handwriting.
Okay.
That's a C.
C.
I mean, that's not what it looks like on the card.
No, it doesn't. I'm glad you can tell that, too. So.
Well, I saw her handwriting over here, and that's much nicer.
Okay, so
is
that,
Jessica Kuhn.
Okay.
Is it, so.
That'll make a difference.
Jeez, Chris.
I don't have much room to talk. I had an English professor told me it looked like I wrote with my big toe. So. That's Paul Jones. He's still in town, too, so I don't know if he's listening tonight or not, but and I can't argue with him on that.
That's why you've got the spoken word instead
that's
of
right,
the written
that's
word.
That's right. Again, we're joined by Mel Church, my athletic director at Northwest Missouri State. And Mel, you've got the duties now of preparing for a playoff home game a little bit different than what you've had in the past.
Well, it really is, John. I never realized all the things that go into it. Really, I did. You know, we have a meeting. Coaches are always involved in a meeting the Monday before the game, and you go through the whole thing, and then you have another meeting on Friday night, the night before the game, with the officials and all that. So I have a pretty good feeling, but there is a lot that goes into it. And you know, the good thing is we've got a great staff, and you know, Mark Clements has been through a lot of playoff games, and you know, Laurie Hopkins has been through several, and Nate and Scott got their feet wet the last couple of years, and so they're ready to go. So we, you know, we got to get Marshall through. You know, Marshall hadn't been in a playoff game yet, so you know, he's the rookie, but I think he'll make it. So
you kind of touched on it, but we talk about experience in the playoffs for teams all the time, but planning, it sounds like experience, and each year that you've done it would have to make it a little bit easier as well.
Well, it really is, and you know, it goes way back to, you know, when we hosted, when Dr. Red was the athletic director, and then Dr. Bob, and both of them were very organized, and of course Wren was the same way, and so, you know, it just everything kind of falls in place right now, and it's made it really pretty easy for me. There's details that we have to take care of, but you know, all these people have done it before, and so they think of all the things, and it really works out pretty well. And Jim Johnson from Pitt State is going to be the committee man here, so that makes it a little easier too. Jim, we all know Jim, and he's a great guy to, you know, just to be around, and so that'll make it more fun.
As far as this week goes, again, you get a chance to work on this for 2 weeks with the bye for the Northwest football team. But what have been some of the main things that your staff's been working on this week?
Well, you know, we're just trying to get some things ready. The ticket thing, we wanted to get do some things with tickets. We purchased 300 student tickets, and we're giving those, the first 300 students that come for tickets, we're giving tickets away. We know it's going to be a tough weekend next week because of Thanksgiving, and so we want to encourage them to stay. We've done a little work with the band. You know, Katie Strickland, our band instructor, band director, has done such a great job, and you know, they want to stay, but that's 130 people, and we got to find a place to, you know, I mean, they can stay in a dorm, but that costs us money. We've got to feed them. And so we worked on that, and I think we've got that all worked out. So we're excited about that our band will be able to stay here or come back on Friday, and they'll perform on Saturday. And I think that's really important. They're an integral part of what we do, and so we're happy to do that.
We talked with DJ just a minute ago, you know, and asked him about crowds and being on the road. And, you know, from the years of traveling and seeing green so much, that even with it being a Thanksgiving weekend, which would normally be tough for people maybe to get to a game, Bearcat fans seem to figure it out, and they're going to end up there.
We really do. You know, historically, that's probably our playoff games. That's probably our poorest crowd. Not so much because of our you know, our adult fans, but because you know, a lot of students do go home, and we don't get them back. But it we'll still have a good crowd. You know, it's exciting. The thing I always like about playoffs, I always kidded. You know, I always went out with the kickers, and I always kidded the kickers. You can tell when it's playoffs because fans are out there when the kickers come out. You know, people they get out there early, and that's the only time kickers ever get any attention when they're warming up. So they always appreciated that. But, you know, some of the greatest crowds we've had have been in playoffs and home crowds. And, you know, I think sometimes I think maybe some of our fans take things for granted a little bit. But, you know, you go back to Grand Valley when they were here, they use all three timeouts in the first quarter of that ball game in the first half, you know, and our crowds have been great. Our students have really gotten into the game, and I, you know, that's the kind of atmosphere we want. You know, our team has worked really hard. Team and coaches have worked really hard to be 11-0 and be number one in the region. Let's make that an advantage. And so I think that everything we can do from, you know, from our alums, our loyal fan base, and then from our students, if we can get everybody on the same page, that's a tremendous help.
Hey, the atmosphere at Bearcat Stadium is really unlike anything you see in Division II.
Well, it really is, John. You know, and it's just, and like I said, it just amps up in the playoffs, and that's what really makes it fun. And that's why, you know, I know Coach Doral and the coaching staff, you know, that they were pushing each week and thinking, you know, if we can stay in that number one spot in the region, region, we can host some playoff games. And I was the same way, man. We want to have people come in and, you know, come to Bearcat Stadium because it's a different atmosphere and it's a great atmosphere.
In terms of everything surrounding the game and fans, is everything basically the same for fans as it would be during a regular season game, or are there any changes because it's playoffs?
No, not really. You know, we have some restrictions as far as where we have to put the visiting fans. We have to provide them seats right directly behind their team, which is good. I think we have to start out with 500 seats there for that are between the 30 and the 30 right behind their bench, and so that works good. But other than that, there really aren't any real restrictions, you know. You know, it's always funny because they always, in the meetings, one of the things they always say, well, you have to understand, you know, cannons aren't legal, but the one over there is off campus, and so it's not in the stadium. So, you know, but I remember every meeting, you know, we go through that, and, our fraternity guys there, they're fired up because they can fire that cannon because it's not in the stadium.
Let's hope they need a lot of ammo.
That's right. We want them to burn that baby up, so that'd be great.
I tell you, I never thought I'd hear this, but the one time that cannon was outdone was at Military Appreciation Day when they brought in the National
Guard. I thought we were under attack for a while there. I was looking for help on that, but they used that. You know, they used up. I think they had some leftover ammo at the end of the game. I was a little worried about, you know, our arboretum there. Those trees were shaking pretty bad, even though they were blanks. I thought, I thought I was probably going to get in trouble for the first time, but they left me alone.
That Saturday's as safe as I've ever felt in a football stadium, you know. With all the gear that they had out
there.
That was cool.
Again, we're talking with Northwest Athletic Director Mel Churchman. We'll be back and talk more with Mel about playoffs in the Northwest Athletic Department. That's all coming up as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville at Carson Sports Grill.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Kerry Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill. And along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. We're talking with Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. And Mel, I know one thing that Matt and I were very happy about when we saw the way the pairings came out was that there's no way that we're going to Duluth, Minnesota. They have to come down here this time around.
I might have had a short tenure as an athletic director if we would have had to go back to Duluth. I would have fought that tooth and nail. I think Emporia is going to be in for a treat this weekend, man. Up there. You know, it's supposed to be warm. It's only supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be like 15 degrees, which would be about 25 degrees warmer than when we were there. But it'll be cold. And, you know, we're excited, you know, whoever wins that game, we're excited to have them. But, you know, I especially with the injury to Emporia's quarterback, you'd have to think it'll be that Duluth will be coming here, and so that'd be exciting to have him back. You know, we had Duluth here, I think, in 2002. And that was a struggle. Matter of fact, I think that ball game went to overtime, didn't it? And we finally won it. But they had a couple of big, tall receivers that we didn't think were that good, but they just kept catching the ball and scoring touchdowns. And I think that ended up, that was a high-scoring game.
Yeah, your sign at Duluth is when you're in the press box and you see a ski jump off in the distance over the top of the stadium. That's when you know you're in for a chilly ball game. From your coaching days, I would think, you know, as we talk about memories and games in the past, that some of the best memories come from playoff games, or at least the ones maybe that stick the most in your mind.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, because you get such great efforts from, you know, we've gotten great efforts from our kids. And, you know, like I said, the Grand Valley game, you know, that will be, we were just talking with DJ, sitting there talking about the Central Washington game. And, you know, seeing them come down and score and with 10 seconds left and then have Roach go through there and block the extra point. You know, I mean, those are the kind of things that you really remember. You know, as far as a great performance, anybody that was at Shadron and saw Xavier Oman rush for, I think it was over 300 yards that day, wasn't it? Or right at 300. Yeah. And, you know, those are the kind of things that you'll never forget.
I think the only team that's ever been able to stop Danny Woodhead was Northwest, even at all levels when you look at it.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised that some of the NFL teams don't call us. I'm a Colt fan, and that guy ruined the Colts that night. He's, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. He's really had a great career in the NFL.
It's neat to see, though, Division II players, you know, even though they may not be Bearcats, but to see Division II players succeed.
Well, yeah, you know, and who was David Bass, the defensive end from Missouri Western, picks off a pass last Sunday and scores for the Bears. And so, yeah, anytime those guys have success, it really, you know, it's just good for Division II football because people realize then that, hey, there's good players in Division II just like there are in Division I.
I know one thing that you're always proud of when you were a coach, and probably equally proud of it, such as today when the announcement came out about the scholar athletes in football and the number of scholar athletes Northwest had and the academic honor roll filled with a lot of Bearcats on there.
Well, it really was. You know, I think, I can't remember the number. What were we right at, 30 with on the academic honor roll?
I think right in that range, and I think about five or six scholar athletes.
Six scholar athletes. I know we had more scholar athletes than anybody else, and that's a 3.5 or above. And, you know, what was really neat is that four of those six were first team all conference guys. And so, you know, it's not like there are guys that just happen to be sitting on the bench that are good students. These are guys that play. And so I think it says a lot about our program and what our coaches have done as far as their emphasis in recruiting. And I know Coach Doral's been adamant about the fact that, hey, we're going to get guys that, you know, that we don't have to worry about academically. We want guys that can come in and, you know, are here because they know that this is their opportunity to get a degree, and that's their number one priority, and, you know, all the other things will fall in place.
You know, something that I didn't give a whole lot of thought to, I was talking to a parent yesterday, and to see that, because you're recruiting more than just the player when you're recruiting to the school, you kind of have to recruit the parents as well, and I would think something like that is real encouraging for parents when they know that their student-athlete is going to be able to get good grades despite being very busy with their sport.
Well, Matt, that's one thing that, you know, ever since we've been here, you know, we've had the student-athlete success program. That was in place when we came in 1994, and that's one of the best selling points that we have for parents. I mean, you know, when the kids come, they want to see the weight room and they want to see the stadium and all that, but the parents want to hear about what you're going to do for them academically. And, you know, Leslie Spaulding has kind of brought that thing along, and, you know, now it's just a great program. And I've always said, you know, that if a young man comes here and wants to get a degree, if he really wants to, he'll get a degree because there's enough help there. The ones that don't get a degree, and those are very few, those are guys that just really don't care, and we try to avoid those.
All right, well, Mel, thanks a lot for being with us, and it's going to be a fun time leading up to that playoff game coming up on Saturday the 30th.
We're looking forward to it. I hope all the Bearcat fans are ready to go and get out there and bring us home a victory.
All right, again, that's Athletic Director of Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchma. We'll come back and wrap things up on this edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni Arjo Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing community opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development. More at MaryvilleMO.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from MTE Office Centers with locations in Maryville and Cameron. Providing computers, printing, networking furniture, and office supplies since 1935, MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, as we wrap things up here and allow Chris Roush to go out and warm up our cars and get them scraped and ready for us here, we've got one question. And normally the questions are directed at the coaches or players. It's a rare opportunity where we have to answer a question. And a question headed up this direction. As broadcasters, how difficult...